11 days ago, I began what I have planned to be a series of addresses on the positive negatives, some of them, that are found in Scripture. Passages in which the Holy Spirit conveys some of his greatest assurances by telling us what God is not or does not do, or by informing us of what will not happen in the lives of God's people. Imagine my surprise then when that very evening, as I was looking for some material for our family devotion, I turned the page of a Christian publication and there saw at the top 9 largely printed no's. No, 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 no. Followed by this statement, a simple word can carry such negative energy, yet it can also bring great comfort. Such is the starting point of an article written by a writer by the name of Sarah Prober of Green Bay, who shares some of the joy that she has come to know through that familiar section of Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 8, verses 31 to 39. Actually, there are several no's in this section, in addition to some neithers and nors, all of which the apostle uses at climactic points in this familiar portion of his letter to the Romans. What then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who then is the one who condemns? First big no coming up. No one. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered sheep to be slaughtered. Second big no. No. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. And then for added emphasis, he puts in some of those neither and nors. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. Here is one of Scripture's most amazing sets of assurances, which is filled with negatives, in order to reinforce and show us just how good we've got it in Christ. For starters, Paul explains that in Jesus, we are 100% justified. Left to ourselves, of course, we were completely and totally helpless. We were unable to atone for the sins which condemn. We were unable to remove the guilt that damns. And so God, in grace and love, took the problem of our guilt into his own hands, placed it on his Son, then unleashed all of his divine anger and wrath for human iniquity on his only begotten. And the result is a justification that is immovable. Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen, Paul asks. And the undeniable answer he provides is no one. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Because of Christ's death and resurrection, we now stand blameless before God. No one can change that. And there's even more to it. He who has completed his atoning work and now intercedes for us, we are assured, also continues to love us. Paul points out that Christ's love for us is not and cannot be interrupted by even the most dramatic things that the world might muster. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? No. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Challenges and disappointments vary, of course, from Christian to Christian. No two people face exactly the same types of difficulties in life. as an example of some that can come some way, one's way, are some of those mentioned by this author in the article. Experiences, unpleasant experience faced in school, and yet ones which she points out she recognized never meant that she was unloved or without help. When my life seemed like it was over because I was the only kid in my class who didn't have a cell phone, God said, "No, dear daughter, your cup overflows." Or, when the coach said I didn't make the team and I felt unwanted, like I wouldn't ever be good enough, God said, "No, you are the body of Christ." In the life of a Christian, there is never a no that means we are unloved by the Lord. There is never a no that cannot be turned by him into a great blessing as we make our way to the greatest blessing of all, eternal life in paradise. This author found that to be true for herself as she grew older, writing, "When a person tells us no, we are left with an empty feeling. When God tells us no, we're filled with his peace, with his joy, with his love. He reminds us, 'For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways,' declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." When there is a no in your life, God is saying, "I have something better in store for you. You cannot understand my plans. I'm greater than you and greater than all things of the world. Wait and see, my child. No, I'm not granting you your wish. I'm giving you something even greater." So, no, those two letters strung together to make one little word are not meant to defeat us. They are meant to remind us that although not everything may go our way in this life, nothing can separate us from his love or his plans. Earthly life will have its hardships and difficulties. Christians can at times even face some of those really dramatic things Paul lists: persecution, nakedness, danger, even sword. But not one of those things, nor anything else that might come one's way, can remove the love which the Lord has for us. "I am convinced," wrote Paul, "that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." And with the love of the Lord firmly in place, we can be assured that we will go from blessing to blessing and that blessings will abound as we make our way to glory, even when the things that come our way may not look like blessings at the time. Nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. So is there a divine no without a purpose? Is there a divine no without a better plan? Is there any way that there can ever be a lull in the Lord's love for us? No way. We sing of the Father's open heart in hymn 566, the odd stanzas, 1, 3, and 5 of hymn 566.
Was it because